we finally got to put the exhibition games and games that don't count in the rear view mirror, and now it's time to go. I mean, look, I wish opening day was today or tomorrow and not Thursday, but we're going to have to wait a little bit.
So are you you flying today?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exciting.
So we'll have an off day tomorrow. Team will work out tomorrow, weather permitting. And then another off day on Friday, and then another off day on Tuesday. So, you know, because of these home openers that start in the Midwest or on the East Coast, if you're not in a dome, then they always open up the game after the opener just in case there's weather. So a lot of off days, but no, that's fine. It'll start to get rolling, and you start to play every day soon after the first week.
Well, according to my very primitive weather app, Thursday in Yankee Stadium is supposed to be dry but brisk, high of 46.
Well, I got two suitcases, and one is just packed with stuff to keep you warm. Look, we did the game in Oakland on Sunday, and I was freezing. and then last night was really cold.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always go back to what my dad said. If you're cold, it's your own fault. So I made sure that I got the right stuff for New York. And, look, Chicago's always brisk in April. But, you know, they're day games, so that's going to help out a little bit.
Was Detroit the coldest you ever felt, Kipe, for baseball in the 2012 World Series? Because I just remember you guys all had, like, the serious winter gear on for those games.
The coldest we've ever been in postseason was the 18-inning game in Washington, D.C.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
It's the only time that the four of us shut the windows. You know, that booth in Washington, D.C. is so high, and it was really windy. And, I mean, that game just went on forever, and it got colder and colder. And, but to your point, Paul, it really was cold in 2012. And, you know, we've talked about this before. If they don't win that game, there was a storm that came in that was going to lock down baseball for about 4 days.
Yeah, right.
So there's a lot of reasons why the Giants wanted to close that one out.
Talking to Dwayne Kuiper. Every Tuesday, our new schedule with Kipe, which is awesome, which means guaranteeing the Giants are going to win every Monday night. Every Monday night before he comes on. So we're not going to have none of the nonsense this year. We're going to have win Tuesday with Kipe. Sergio, we need to back up and get into it. Your view of the entire experience, Kipe, that's the big picture question. Then we'll ask some nitty gritty.
Well, I mean, look, you know, ticket sales jumped when the Giants announced that this was going to happen. I mean, look, they had 30,000 people there last night.
It looked good.
And a large part was because of the fans' affection for Sergio Romo. And they came out. I mean, my son came out with his wife.
Nice.
It's a Monday night. I mean, it's a work day the next day. But a lot of fans, just like him, where they just wanted to say goodbye to this guy. And I just thought it was handled great. I mean, look, we all wish that he could have pitched a 1-2-3 inning, but that was not likely going to happen, given that you know, there are major league hitters there that don't want to embarrass themselves. And then, you know, look, you know, Nick Lentz, the umpire, he just did not read the room last night.
There you go.
Yeah, right.
That was next.
Right. I mean, Romo ends up, the first hitter he faces, it's all of a sudden two balls and no strikes due to the fact that the umpire said Romo took too much time. Well, you have to read the room. I think that's just common sense.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And umpires have, you know, all the ability in the world to stretch things out a little bit. And so anyway, that kind of got I kind of got the ball rolling in the wrong direction when you haven't pitched at all in 6 months, and now all of a sudden it's two balls and no strikes to a major league hitter. And it kind of just went downhill from there. But, you know, I did not know that Hunter Pence was going to come out and take the ball from him, which I thought was very cool. And, you know, the other guy in that dugout that was paying a lot of attention was Brandon Crawford. You know, those are two of his teammates from two of those World Series teams.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all in all, look, you knew that it was going to be a heartful experience for Sergio. I mean, he's a sensitive guy. And I thought all in all that after the game, I'm sure he thought that this was a very satisfying night. He got to check all the boxes, including, you know, telling all the fans how much he thinks of them. So it was a good night. It really was. I mean, look, the worse the score got, the more it became Sergio Romo night.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, once it got to 10-2 and then 12-2, it was like, all right, well, then now let's focus on Sergio, and that's basically what happened.
Did you see the story about his hat, Kipe?
I did not.
So, according to Alex Pavlovich, every time a kid asked Sergio Romo for an autograph in spring training, he asked them to sign his hat first. And so he said he wore this to the mound tonight, and it's a picture, Kipe, of Sergio's hat, and written on it are dozens and dozens of little kids' handwriting. Logan, Jameson, Sebastian, Joey, and then all the way up into the inside of the hat, too. Evan and Dom and Rylan and all these. And so he said he didn't want to go out there alone. How about that?
Yeah, no, that's great because, you know, look, he's got little kids. He's got a bunch of them. And he gets it when it comes to kids that are at the ballpark, kids that are interested in him, interested in the Giants, interested in the game. And so he doesn't ever let those opportunities get away. You know, when he showed up in Milwaukee in Cleveland in 2008, you know, everybody was like, all right, well, you know, this kid's got a pitch that could keep him in the big leagues for a little while because he doesn't have velocity. And, you know, we at that point didn't know, you know, what he was like inside and the competitiveness he has. So, yeah, you know, he may stick around for a little while because of that one pitch, that really good slider. And what does he stick around for? 15 years?
Yeah.
I mean, people forget that he was one of the original openers in Tampa.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were like, well, first of all, what's an opener?
Yeah.
Don't you just have two of those every year? No, he was perfect for that. I mean, if you got a right-handed hitting top of the order, you know, Romo would start the game and pitch an inning or two or whatever it was. But, I mean, there are so many different highlights of him that you know, we could sit here and talk all day about him.
Did you see his Instagram post leaving his house in the morning, too?
I did.
So if people miss this, he did like with these first day of school pictures, but it's the last day of school. And it's like a kid's chalkboard. It says Sergio Romo, last day of, and he's written in professional MLB pitcher. It says, I am, he writes 40. He writes, it says, I love to, and he says, golf. He says, my teacher is, and he writes in Rags, Guardy, and Bochy. And it says, my school, and he writes in AT&T Oracle Park. He writes, my favorite book, How to Throw a Slider by my tata, my tato. My favorite food, my mom's empanadas. And he says, when I grow up, I want to be a senior PGA Tour golfer. That's a new one for me. But anyway, it's really, really, it's kind of heartwarming, kind of cute. Everybody should go check out his Instagram.
Yeah, the whole night was great. And, you know, and we had a chance to show that. I wish we could have blown it up just a little bit more to see all the different things that he wrote. But, you know, he gets it. I mean, he understands everything around the ballpark, the game, the people. And he has always been like that. You know, they don't, without that core four, you know, who knows what the history of this franchise would be like. And he was one of those four. I said it last night. I know that Afel Casilla and Lopez were watching, and they were probably going, well, wait a minute. I want to pitch an inning. but you figured that they were watching pretty closely, because that was a really, really close group. All completely different personalities, but they all came together as one group and pulled it off. I mean, Joe Wilson in that group too.
Yeah.
As far as being different and, that was, remember, we always say that thank goodness for Javi Lopez, because in that bullpen, he was the adult in the room.
Well, we just had Javi on right before you, and he did stay up in Atlanta to watch it, and he was really into it. Paulie did ask him about his farewell, and he talked about that walk against the Cubs, but he said it was okay. He said, I came in with no fanfare, and I left with no fanfare. It's the way I wanted. But he talked about this Sergio Romo Players Tribune article called Dear San Francisco, and Sergio revealed, and Javi said he didn't know that he was going to reveal that Javi Lopez was one of his most important teammates ever, because he called him out for his undisciplined behavior. And Sergio wrote about it. Sergio said, you're the guy who's late to meetings. You're the guy who's out of dress code. You're the guy partying at bad hours and held up a mirror and showed me what it means to be a pro. So, yes, Javi was watching.
Yeah, and even when I started doing games with Javi, I'd be sitting with, Javi before a game, a couple hours before a game, and he'd get a phone call, and it would be Romo. Or, one trip we went to Miami, and there's Romo in a Marlins uniform.
Yeah.
And Javi went down, and I bet he talked to Romo for an hour. Lopez did play the role of a therapist a lot with that group.
Yeah.
And sometimes that doesn't get mentioned enough. He did a heck of a lot more than just get left-handed hitters out. So I'm not surprised at all by Romo explaining everything that Lopez did for him. Maybe a little bit surprised that he outed himself. But, you have to have those guys, especially if you've got all those different personalities down there. And Mark Gardner had them all down in that bullpen, and he survived.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Yeah, it was nice that he mentioned Gardy on that last day of school thing, too. So, well, it was awesome. It was a home run. Even who cares how that out? By the way, he got an out at second base. The umpire didn't.
Yeah, what the hell was that?
What was that? He thought it was a tag play? What was going on?
Well, that's what you could see. That's what Gabe was saying. Look, you can't run out there and make a big deal out of it by saying, did you forget that this was a force play? Because you're probably going to get thrown out. So, he'd made, his comments known from the dugout. But, yeah, I didn't quite get that whole thing. So I was not happy at all with the umpires last night.
Nah, they had a bad night. And as you said, Nick Lentz did not read the room. All right, Kipe, so this is your last look. Now, they haven't mentioned the 26-man. They haven't named the 26-man roster. According to Matt Chisholm, they don't have to do it until 9 a.m., Thursday morning. I don't know if they'll wait that long. Do you have any thoughts on the final sort of makeup of this roster? Because last time we'll talk to you before your first broadcast on Thursday. And, Blake Sable is a name that comes up. Sean Jelly is a name that comes up. Where do you see this roster, 26-man roster, coming down to?
Well, the question, Murph, is if you watch the people getting on the plane, that might give you an idea who's making the roster. I mean, look, all the guys that you mentioned, they could all fly them to New York and still, you know, have some time to make a decision. But, you know, I can't imagine anything happening between now and when the deadline is that would change anybody's mind. I think those minds have been made up. And, I do think Sable makes the team. The decision on Jelly, you're just going to have to try to figure out, is Alex Cobb okay? I guess he threw the ball well yesterday in Arizona. And do you want Jelly to sit around with all the off days? You know, there's a chance that he's not going to pitch a lot unless one of the starters gets blown up early. Bryce Johnson's probably going to make the team due to injuries. And, you know, and he's had a really, really nice spring. So, I don't think there's that many decisions to be made. I think what we have seen over the last week is pretty much the roster. But, you know, they might decide at the last second to change things up a little bit, but I don't think so.
Yeah, and so we'll obviously, like you said, see who gets on the plane going out there. And by the time next time we talk to you, we'll be, Tuesday in Chicago. So they'll have played four games. You mentioned Cobb. He has a knee bruise, but they think he might be able to go Saturday. And then have they named their game three starter? Is it Wood or DeSclafani or Stripling?
I think more if the decision is let's see how many right-handed hitters the Yankees are going to throw out there. And, and if analytics-wise says, you know, let's save Wood until Monday against the White Sox, you know, that's what they might do.
Right.
But, I mean, you would think that Alex Wood, no matter what, lefty or righty, he would be fine. But, you know, these decisions are made a lot differently now than, you know, 30 years ago, where here's your number one guy, here's your number two guy, and, you know, you just follow that group. Now there's a little bit more that goes into it. So, you know, Alex Wood is going to pitch you through great on Sunday. So, you know, I look forward to seeing him pitch, and it may very well be that Sunday game. I know there's some weather issues back there that, you know, who knows what's going to happen because it's April. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, Alex Wood is going to definitely pitch either Sunday or Monday.
And you will be there, which is awesome. And my only question is, are you bringing your orange blazer? Because, Paulie, you need to know, Dwayne Kuiper was inducted into the Junior Giants Hall of Fame yesterday, which is an awesome honor. You were such a great spokesperson and continue to be such a great spokesperson, Kuiper. I know you were very humble in your speech yesterday, but you've made a huge impact. Your voice carries a lot of weight, and you've told people about the glove drive and the car donation and all the stuff that you've done in the stretch drive. So thank you from a board member to you. And second of all, congratulations. And, wow, you got to go in with Isabel. It's pretty cool.
There you go. I got to go in with, you know, Isabel. Well, I mean, for people that don't know, Isabel Lemon, when I met Isabel in 1982, she was at KMBR. She was at KMBR a long time. And she knew everything that was going on at KMBR. You know, I always like to tell the story. You go into Isabel's office and, you know, everything had KMBR written on it, from T-shirts to cups to jackets to napkins. And she only had one chair in her office, and that was for her.
See? Yeah.
It was like, don't come in here and think that you're going to sit down and bother me while I'm trying to get something.
Right. The message is you won't be in here long. Yeah, yeah.
She had things to do.
I love Isabel. So anyway, it was a great honor, especially going in with her. And Sue Peterson had the orange jacket for me. It was, sitting on my chair in the broadcast booth yesterday. So, I put it on. I took a couple of pictures. I sent them to Sue. And then everybody that saw it, like Erwin Higueros from our PR department in Spanish radio, he wants to take it to Miami. I said, yeah, you can wear it to Miami.
Oh, wow. Why? Just out to the club or what?
Yeah, wear it out.
Hey, man. Come on.
It's Paulie, it's a blinding orange blazer.
That's perfect for Miami and the nightlife.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was great. And yeah, I appreciate it. I said it and I meant it. You know, the fun did more for me than I did it for it.
I did say that, yeah.
Because it was just great people and hardworking people. And they as you know, Murph, they have fun, they laugh, they do all the things that you'd want a group to do. But the thing that they do best is work their tail off. And they don't get paid. Oh. So it's great. It was great to be honored. Let's put it that way.
And by the way, Rennell, excuse me, who went in last year, she put her jacket on for the ceremony and called up Logan Webb and Lamont Wade Jr. to handle each sleeve.
Well,
for her.
Listen.
Well, that doesn't surprise me one bit.
And Kipe, when she took off her jacket, she revealed her high level of fitness. She's wearing a sleeveless dress, and she said to Kapler, sitting in the front row, she said, "Gabe, don't be intimidated by the guns."
Nice.
Shocker. Well, lots of spunk, that girl.
Oh, she was great yesterday. Yeah, in a career full of great performances, yesterday she was 10 out of 10.
Yeah. And it was at the park, correct?
Yes, it was. And we were out in the outfield, and Farhan was there. And Farhan even spoke about we had a film about a couple of siblings who had been bullied and used Junior Giants to come out of it on the other side in a positive way. And then Farhan was very touched by that and spoke about that in his little speech, too. So it was all in all a great day. Now he's got to win some games. That's all.
Get off to a nice start. That's always a goal for any team. It just makes it a lot easier to just sit back and relax if you get off to a good start. And they got their hands full right off the bat in New York. And then Chicago. I mean, they got a good club, too. So anyway, the first trip is always a little dangerous because you just don't know how everybody's going to react. But if you listen to Gabe, he was really happy with how things went during the spring. And, you know, he's ready to see this team play. They're going to pitch, Murph.
They got to pitch.
They got to score enough runs, but they're going to pitch.
We just got to Javi Lopez said, find the biggest toilet you can find and flush Ross Stripling's performance last night. Just flush it.
Yeah, that was, and look, he wants to compete, but once things started to go sideways, he was just trying to get his work in. He's a guy that just can put the ball where he wants to, and every once in a while, that doesn't happen, and big league hitters are going to knock you around a little bit. He hit 4 home runs last night.
No. Who asked for that?
Yeah. So, anyway.
You are. Okay. So, do you have your good – I mean, you don't have to tell us where, but just do you have your reservation on lockdown for Friday?
Oh, man.
Friday night, you're going to have a best possible dinner?
Kipe knows what he's doing.
Well, Mike's son, Jarek, owns a bar and restaurant.
Fabulous.
And – so we'll probably eat there. How many nights are we there? 6? 5?
Well, geez, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So you have a dinner tonight, and you have a dinner Wednesday night?
No, we won't get in time for dinner tonight.
Okay, so Wednesday and Friday, you got two for sure.
We will get in time, hopefully, to watch the Warriors, because it's on TNT.
Yeah.
Big game tonight, too.
And any Broadway musicals in your future, or no?
Maybe. Yeah, okay. You know, for maybe 20 years, we all did the same thing when we got to New York, and that's we would go to Carmine's.
Oh, yeah.
And we would take as many people as wanted to go.
Yeah.
Walk through the lobby. Who's ever in the lobby that was part of the traveling group? Come on, let's go. We're going to Carmine's. And there were times where we'd have as many as 20 people.
Oh, yeah.
And if people know anything about Carmine's, it's kind of like Buco de Beppo's, where you're going to get a lot of food and you can share. And it's just a great New York City atmosphere. Mm-hmm. You know, the waiters are kind of rude, and, you know, it's great. Just love that.
The whole bit, yeah.
But, you know, since a lot of us stopped traveling and COVID, Carmine's has kind of gone by the wayside, but I will at least walk by Carmine's because of all the memories we've had there.
Well, I'd say pop in. Now, that story that I love so much about you and Mike meeting Marvin Miller and him walking down the street, was that Carmine's?
That was not. We let Marvin pick his spot, which was close to his apartment, because we didn't want Marvin to have to get in a cab. So he walked from his apartment, and he picked out a little Italian place. And I told you, it was almost like a Norman Rockwell painting, where when we walked in, we went down three or four steps, and there's this little old man sitting by himself waiting for us. And the impact that he had on baseball, he was a little old man, but boy, did he ever fill the room.
Yeah.
And we had an hour and a half of awesome conversation, but we did a lot of listening.
Yeah, man, so cool.
It, you know, plus it was our, we wanted Ted Robinson to meet him and to, you know, get a chance to see where we were coming from as far as former players and guys that just appreciated Marvin. But I couldn't tell you right now where that restaurant was, but I can still very clear see what it was like walking into it with him sitting and at a table for four by himself.
I love that story. It's one of my favorites. All right, Kipe, we're all ready now. You're ready to go, whether it's Carmine's or not, whether it's Jarek's place or not, whether it's Yankee Stadium. It's all good. It's all great. And you bring the orange blazer for Irwin to Miami and...
He'll look good in that. He could pull that off.
Yes. Yeah. Fly beautifully, safely. Enjoy the flight. And we cannot wait to hear you from Yankee Stadium. Yeah. Where you used to feel, where Thurman Munson used to used to kind of treat you rudely, right?
Treated me nicely.
Oh, nicely. I'm sorry. That's right. It was, yeah. And then would offer to fly you home, right, to Cleveland?
Yeah, he flew home after every game.
Yeah.
He left us too soon. He's a Hall of Famer as far as I was concerned.
Yeah, man.
That's the old Yankee Stadium. The new Yankee Stadium is extremely nice. I mean, they did not...
It's like a Hotel W.
Yeah.
They did not cut any corners.
Yeah. Good I thought it was a little too gleaming, but really cool historical photos all over the place. That's one thing that jumped out at me. It was like amazing photos you've never seen before from the archives. So
a lot of history of that organization on that plot of land. I do miss, but you know what? I missed my rookie year. The Yankees were playing at Shea Stadium.
Yeah.
Cause they were renovating. Yeah. Yankee Stadium. Yeah. So right. I was never in the old.
Right.
But you know, I was in the one that they renovated.
That became old after a while.
You know what's
right?
crazy too, you guys? If you look at old baseball cards from like 74, 75, they had Yankee players in with Shea Stadium as the background. Like I have some at home. It's really weird to see the pinstripes with the Shea Stadium behind them. You know?
Yeah, I didn't have any idea what was going on. I mean, they're playing Yankees in National League Park.
Yeah.
It's like, geez. So it was great. When I think it was 1977 when the old new park reopened. And I'll tell you what, when you walk the halls underneath the stadium and you think about all the people that walk those halls, it kind of takes your breath away.
Yeah. Mike said to Mike Conforto yesterday in the Q&A about playing, he said, just when you go back on a fly ball, don't run into the monuments, is what he said. So,
it's true.
Oh, man. All right. Good stuff, Kipe. Can't wait to hear you, buddy.
All right.
See you in New York.
Let's do it. All right. Play ball.
There he is, yeah. Dwayne Kuiper. And you are listening to KMBR and KMBR FM, San Francisco, the sports leader, Cumulus Media Station. Top six sports stories next on the Sports Leader.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.